Thank you, Elder Corcum, for that very beautiful prayer. Appreciate that so much. It's been such a joy and privilege and honor for me to have served in this conference alongside with Elder and Mrs. Corcum. It's been wonderful memories that my wife and I have had through the years, and we appreciate it so very, very much. I want to greet you this evening in the wonderful and precious name of my Savior and your Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to thank Elder and Mrs. Weeb for inviting us to come and share during this wonderful encampment here at the Alberta Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. My wife and I are delighted to be back. As I indicated earlier, it was 20 years ago that we departed from the Alberta Conference to the East Coast. And we have so many friends here, and we've started to meet many of them as we've come in this afternoon, this evening, and friends from Fort McMurray to Calgary, from Grand Prairie to Medicine Hat. Oh, yes. I'll never forget, Elder Corcum, the times when we've actually flown together in the conference plane up to Grand Prairie and other far reaches of this conference. In fact, all the way up to Yellowknife, I tell you. And sometimes it was, you know, tuck and go. We had some interesting experiences sometimes there that we had to extend a special prayer heavenward. But the Lord took care of us, and He protected us, and we had a wonderful, wonderful experience together. We also have looked forward to friends from the college, CUC, now known as Berman University, where my wife, Dr. Lois, worked for 8 years. 8 years she served there at the college, and I'll never forget Elder Rio Ganson, who he and his brother Leo gave that wonderful, wonderful presentation, musical presentation. Elder Ganson, Dr. Ganson, he hired my wife, and I was so delighted that she could be part of the faculty there at Berman University many, many years ago. If there are any students here that she taught, I know she would be very, very interested in learning who you are and just getting to meet you and greet you after the service today or maybe tomorrow. So if you have any recollection of any of her classes, any of you here, please, by all means, she will look forward to meeting with you. I want to say that after 20 years being away from the Alberta Conference, I want to say to you that you're all looking, not only looking good, but you're good looking too. It was so beautiful driving up here from Calgary when we came in yesterday, enjoying the beautiful canola fields. I tell you, that just brought back so many wonderful memories. And then, of course, the sunny weekend. I want you to know that we brought the sunshine, okay? Let's be clear about that. Because I heard about last weekend. I heard how wet it was and how muddy it was. So we're just delighted to have a beautiful and sunny weekend. Aren't you? Yes. Amen. 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 Well, this evening, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to share with you a message from God's Word. I would like to read to you the passage that my message is anchored in. And so if you would kindly open your Bibles and turn to 2 Kings chapter 6 and reading from verse 8. 2 Kings chapter 6 and reading from verse 8. I read to you from the New King James Version of the Bible. Now, the king of Syria was making war against Israel. And he consulted with his servants, saying, "My camp will be in such and such a place." And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. And then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him, and thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. And therefore the king of Syria was greatly troubled. The heart of the king was greatly troubled by this thing. And so he called in his servants, and he said to them, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of the servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha." Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, he tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. And so he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him." And it was told him, saying, "Surely he is in Dothan." That's where he is, in Dothan. And therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. He sent ballistic missiles. He sent all those wonderful airlines that dropped those bombs. Yes, he sent them, 21st century. And he sent them by night. And they surrounded the city, the Bible says. And when the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning, went out, there was an army surrounding the city and the horses and the chariots. And his servants said to Elisha, "Alas, my master, what shall we do? What shall we do?" And so he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. My topic this evening, ladies and gentlemen, chariots of fire. Chariots of fire. Let's bow our heads together as we pray. Father God, in the wonderful and precious name of Jesus. Jesus. Oh, how sweet the name. Jesus. Every day the same. Jesus, let all saints proclaim his worthy praise forever. I pray, dear God, that you will anoint each one of us here this afternoon with a double dose of your Holy Ghost, so that we may have the unction to function in these last days of history filled with mystery. In the wonderful and precious name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen. Amen. I have a question for you this afternoon. And my question is, have you ever felt under great pressure? Have you ever felt under pressure? Have you ever felt like you're being attacked? Now, I'm not talking about the kind of terrorist attacks that we have been experiencing this month and last month, and that's happening in Europe and the United States and other places around the world. I'm talking about simply a personal experience with pressure, a personal attack. It may be your job. It may be your salary. It may be your income. It may be issues surrounding your retirement. It may be challenges in your marriage. It may be friends who have betrayed you. It may be one of your kids going through an uncommon behavior issues at school. It may be just simply out of the blue temptations that you have never had a problem with before. But the devil has stepped up his game, and now you're experiencing spiritual attacks. health attacks, psychological attacks, and you think that you're all alone in these attacks and pressure, and you can't even begin to fathom how God is going to help you out of this one. Well, I'm here to remind you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that you and I are not alone. That God, He can and He will help you personally. You simply need God to show you all that is at His disposal for your protection. And so that's what actually happened in 2 Kings chapter 6 that we just read a while ago. The nation of Syria was always at war with Israel, and every time they would attack Israel, God would tell Elisha what's happening. God would tell Elisha, the prophet of God, that what the plans were by the king of Syria. And so Israel would win over and over again. And so the king of Syria, he learned that Elisha was the one telling the king of Israel what was going on, and even talking about things he was saying in his very bedroom. And so he sent his army down to Dothan, and he said, I want you to go down there and get him this time. Make sure you get him. Get Elisha. Elisha, his servant, woke up that morning. He wiped his eyes and he looked out, and what he saw was so disconcerting to him. He ran back inside and he said, my master, what shall we do? What are we going to do? Elisha said to him, don't worry about it, my friend. The people on our side far outnumber those that are against us. And I say to that tonight, amen. What about you? And so there are 3 points that I want to make tonight. 3 points. Number one, according to this passage, the natural eye of mankind is blind to the things of heaven. The natural eye of man is blind to the things of heaven. We saw that with Elisha's servant. He was terrified by the armies of the enemy that surrounded the city. The servant was afraid. He cried out, oh, my Lord, what shall we do? But this cry, my friends, is common to the human experience. This cry, when we find ourselves in difficulty and in challenging situations, when unemployment is up and the economy is bad, and when things are not going well, we cry out, Lord, what shall we do? But I thank God this evening, my friends, for the answer of the prophet Elisha. He said, do not be afraid. And that's the message I bring to you this evening. Do not be afraid, because those who are with us are more than those that be with them. What do you say? But I want you to notice something here. It wasn't until the prophet prayed for his servant that his eyes were opened, so that he could see the armies of angels and chariots of fire all around, not just around the city, but according to the scripture, they were all around the country hillside. The mountainside was covered with angels, covered with armies of God's angels and chariots of fire. God has an invisible army, my friends, that is always available to you and to me. Indeed, God is everywhere, yet the sin-blinded eyes of man cannot perceive His presence. Worse than that, mankind's blinded state that we're in, we do not even see our own condition of sinfulness. The natural eye of man is blind to the things of God. And hypocrisy blinds us to our own weaknesses and our own sins. And so Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 3 to 5, he says, before you take out the little speck of dust in somebody else's eye, would you kindly remove the massive lumber in your own eye? It's so easy to see other people's weaknesses, but never our own. And that's why, by the way, we should never sit in the seat of judgment on anyone. A friend sent me this statement. It goes like this, and I quote, "Don't judge others just because your sins are different from theirs." Shall I repeat that? Don't judge other people just because their sins are different from your sins. The judgment seat is not ours to own, my friends. It belongs to God. Amen? And having said that, however, I do believe that God has called us not to be judges, but He has called us to be fruit inspectors. Fruit inspectors. The Bible says, try the spirits to see if they are from God. So my first point is the natural eye of mankind. It's blind. It's blind to the things of heaven. And so we need to have our eyes opened. And so that's my second point. God alone can open people's eyes. Elisha's servant had the same human problem of blindness until God opened his eyes through his prophet. And as we do the work of evangelism, and as we do the work of outreach, it's always important, my friends, to understand that in the business of sharing Christ with others, it is the Lord and the Lord only, and not man, that can open the eyes of the blind. We can lead the blind. Pardon me. We can lead the blind, but we cannot make the blind to see. We cannot make them see spiritually, and we certainly can't make them see physically. We can take truth before them. We can place truth before them, made powerful, of course, by our own testimonies, according to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11, made powerful by our own experiences that we have been through. We can place truth before people, but we cannot open their eyes. That prerogative belongs only to God. As we interface with others, as we interface with our communities, we must pray Elisha's prayer, "Oh Lord, open his eyes so that he may see." The message to us is to us personally, "Lord, open my eyes that I may see." Leaders, pastors, church members, students, teachers, open our eyes, Lord, that we may see. And when we hear loved ones and friends and neighbors inquiring and searching for truth, we should inquire of the Lord on their behalf. Their cry should be our cry. Their needs should beckon us for support for them. What an awesome opportunity we have to be an instrument in helping to open the spiritual eyes of those who are searching for light and searching for salvation. We can do it even with a song. I remember some years ago I was holding an evangelistic meeting in the Bronx, New York. And my soloist was singing one of my favorite songs, "Were It Not for Grace." Were it not for grace. And she was singing that song. It was so beautiful. And all of a sudden, my phone started to vibrate. Under normal circumstances, I would not have taken that phone out of its holster. But I did. It was a very dear friend who I hadn't seen in many years, but someone who had lost their way. And as I was talking with her, I held the phone. I said, "I want you to hear something. I want you to listen to something." And I held the phone up as my soloist was singing that beautiful song, "Were It Not for Grace." When the song had ended and she had finished singing, I put the phone back to my ear and I said, "Did you hear that?" And all I could hear was sobs. She was crying. She was crying. "Were it not for grace." I want you to know, my friends, that as of that moment, her life was changed. God can do it with a song. He can do it with a song. You see, grace, my friends, is always a gift and never an option. We are not invited or allowed to simply pick the plan that saves us. Grace is not merely an instrument plan, an insurance plan, where we can select plan A or plan B or plan C. Just as there is no other name given among men whereby we might be saved, Acts 4 and verse 12, so also, my friends, there is no other alternative to grace as God's way of saving us. For grace, are you saved through faith and not of yourselves? It is the gift of God. If you believe that this evening, can you say amen? Amen. In Jesus on the cross of Calvary, we meet God's best and only offer. There is only one option, my friends, only one option. It's the grace option, which is God's gift option. Our part is simply to accept that gift of grace. I thank God for the theme for this week of camp meetings, Servant of Grace. Yes, our spiritual eyes can be opened by a song. Our spiritual eyes can be opened by a testimony. And by the way, did you know that your testimony is the most powerful form of witnessing? And the reason it is because you hold the copyright ownership on your own testimony. Nobody can argue with your testimony of what God has done in you and with you and through you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Your testimony is your most powerful weapon against Satan, my friends, in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, our eyes can be opened by a song, by a testimony, a kind deed, even catching your kids doing good deeds and complimenting them and praising them. Oh, yes, a visit to the sick, an invitation to a Bible study, an evangelistic meeting, sharing a tract or a book, or simply having and building a relationship with someone that you truly, truly demonstrate caring for. God has myriads of ways to reach hearts that are ready to hear His appeal and to have their eyes open to see His grace and His glory. I love the words of that song. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently, now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes. Illumine me, Spirit, Spirit divine. Thirdly and lastly, we can be certain that God does actually open people's eyes. He opens both the natural eye, but He opens also the spiritual eye. And He has done it in a moment as portrayed in the New Testament and also in the Elisha, in the Old Testament with Elisha's servant. And when He does, those who are blessed are permitted to see hills full of horses. Those horses are a symbol of speed. They not only see horses, but they see chariots of fire. The chariots of fire are a symbol of God's guardian angels, a symbol of His presence with us. A most powerful application of Elisha and the servant's experience may be presented in the understanding that when our spiritual eyes are open, we will not only see God's protecting angels and in the affairs of His children, but we will also see something else. As I have discovered in the spirit of prophecy, we will also see the Father rising from the throne in a chariot of fire, a glorious symbol of his presence, ministering during the second phase of Jesus' ministry in the heavenly sanctuary. I read to you now from the book Early Writings, page 55. I saw, she says, the Father rise from the throne and in a flaming chariot go into the Holy of Holies within the veil and sit down, and then a cloudy chariot with wheels like flaming fire, surrounded by angels, came to where Jesus was. He stepped into the chariot and was borne to the holiest, where the Father sat. And there I beheld Jesus, a great high priest, standing before the Father. As you know, my friends, the ministration of Jesus Christ in the heavenly sanctuary is a key and fundamental doctrine of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, is it not? Oh, yes. It was carved out in deep study of Scriptures and formed the basis of our understanding, our theological understanding of the work of Jesus as our high priest in the heavenly sanctuary. And as we surrender ourselves to his leading, God, in his mercy and his grace, cleanses us of our sins through the spilt blood of Christ at Calvary. This is good news, my friends. This is hope for humanity. This is hope for the entire world. This is hope for all the terrorism and shooting and looting that is taking place in our world today. This is hope, my friends, the flaming chariots of fire with which Christ enters the sanctuary bring hope to our world. It brings joy to our world, and it brings joy and hope to the believer who puts their faith in Jesus Christ. And so we can be certain that God does actually open people's eyes. It's real, my friends. God is real. You can trust him. He will open our spiritual eyes and your spiritual eyes and the spiritual eyes of all those we come in contact with when we ask him. And so, my friends, it is when the tunnel of life is the darkest. It's when corruption is the deepest. It's when society is the sleaziest. It's when morals are the lowest that God will come through with the highest and the best for his children. Amen. He will come through with the speed of horses. He will come through as an angelic chariot of fire to rescue us and cleanse us of our sins. Remember, my friends, that God has not called you to be merely successful. God has simply called us to be faithful. And as Steve Green sings, may all who come behind us find us faithful. That is the prayer that you and I must have today, my friends. May all who come behind us find us faithful. In these critical times, a decisive message is needed that will call men and women, married and singles, parents and children, back to the covenant of love, back to the covenant of his commandments, which the world has forsaken. But we can't do it alone, my friends. We cannot do it alone. We cannot operate in spiritual silos, so to speak. And so Zechariah comes to our rescue, and he says in Zechariah 4 and verse 8 and verse 6, rather, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. You see, my friends, when you've got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you've got Jesus. And when you've got Jesus, you've got grace for every sin. And grace will always be bigger than your sins. When you've got Jesus, you've got direction for every turn. You've got a light for every corner. You've got bread for every table. You've got an anchor in the time of storm. What do you say out there? Amen. Oh, yes. And so as we go forth into the 21st century, you and I do not need to be afraid. You don't need to be intimidated by the enemy of our souls. If God is for us, who can prevail against us and against Christ's kingdom? Therefore, we need fear no power. We need fear no force. We need fear no opposition. We need fear no sickness, no circumstance, no condition, no swine flu, bird flu, human flu, chikungunya, Zika, whatever it is. We need fear nobody, black or white, male or female, no demon, no principality, no height, no depth, nothing present, nothing to come, because nothing can separate us from the love that is found in Jesus Christ. Why? Because he says to us, fear not, for we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us. Fear not, Elisha says to his servant, for they that are with us are more than they that be with them. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And so one of the best things I can say to you this evening, my friends, as we close this message today, at this Alberta Conference Camp Meeting 2016, is in the words of that song, in times like these, we have a Savior. In times like these, we have an anchor. So you ought to be very sure. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. We never have to worry whether the rock is sure. We never have to worry whether the rock is solid. God can take care of himself, and he can take care of us. What do you say? We can trust him for that. Little boy went to bed one night, but just before he went under the covers, he knelt beside his bed and he prayed, "Dear God, please take care of my daddy. Please take care of my mommy and my sister and my brother and my doggy and my kitty cat and me. And yes, Lord, please take care of yourself. Because if anything ever happens to you, Lord, we're all gonna be in a big mess." But we don't have to pray that prayer, amen? Because God, my God, and your God is never in a mess. And neither are we when we're in his big hands. I pray this evening, my friends, that God will give you blazing and amazing success in your spiritual experience in these closing moments of Earth's history, as you witness before God's throne filled with horses and chariots of fire. Let's stand together as we pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for the precious Jesus who has made it all possible for us to experience eternal life through your Son, Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross of Calvary and rose again. Lord, we are so grateful and thankful to you that there is hope, hope in this life, hope beyond the grave. There is hope tonight through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so together we want to pray tonight. I ask this congregation tonight to repeat after me, Lord Jesus. Everyone, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I ask you for forgiveness of my sins. I open the door of my life and I receive you as my Savior, right now, tonight. May everyone say, amen. Please be seated.